Hello and welcome to a responsible day for the sixth day of Adar Sheni of the second month of Adar in those years that has one. Today we're going to discuss a responsible of the Tzitz Eliezer from the fourth volume, Siman Vav, the sixth responsum. Dated the sixth day of Adar Sheni of Tav Shin Yud Aleph, 1951. He's responding to a question that was sent to him by the rabbi of Akko, who wants to know what to do with plastic utensils, with plastic items, how you kosher them. Now, koshering, the word in Hebrew often is hagala, because for many, many objects, the way you kosher them is you put them in boiling water, or you fill a pot with boiling water and you have the water go over the sides, and the boiling water over a fire is seen as a generally fairly sure way to pull out any of the taste that is embedded or incorporated, has been absorbed into that item. Some items that are used on the fire regularly, you need to do one that you do what's called a libun, either a libun kal or a libun chamor. The highest level of libun chamor would be you heat it up to red hot, and that really burns out anything that was contained inside of it. Often you'll do this if something is in some way gotten non-kosher. Let's say you had a fleishig pot and you accidentally cooked milk in it right away, and there was a mixture that made it a problem. Or you didn't realize that the chickens, right, a couple of years ago, there was some butcher store somewhere that turned out had been selling non-kosher birds, chickens, as if they were kosher ones. So those people's pots and pans needed to be koshered. That would be one way. But the most common time that Jews kosher things is for Pesach. It's well accepted that you're not required to buy a whole new set of dishes, a whole new set of anything for Pesach, but we try to be all those items that can be koshered, that can be turned over for Pesach, we do so. So if you take silverware, you wait a day for it. We'll get to the waiting day very much later in the Tshuva. You wait a day. Tradition is that any taste inside of it is called ta'am lifgam. It's not the original taste anymore, and therefore it doesn't provide the full prohibition that taste provides, and therefore that makes it easier to find leniencies to allow for various forms of hagala of koshering. So you want to kosher certain things. We want to know, can you kosher plastic utensils? So this rabbi did a little research. He said, I contacted a factory, a plastics factory, and I said to find out what's the density of plastic, what's its ability to absorb things. Do plastic utensils absorb things or not? And they said, plastic isn't really permeable, and in that sense, it's very similar to glass. But you can't leave plastic in hot water, because the worry there is not that it'll absorb, the worry is that it'll melt. All hot water will melt. It's whatever plastic they were talking about. If you put it in too hot water, it'll melt it. So if you have a hospital, and it's a place where they often try to kosher things because they have a lot of, it's an sort of industrial level of use of dishes and things like that. So they won't have to throw things out or buy new things, and so they try to reuse things in kosher them. So the mashgiach, the man in charge of the kosher at the hospital, one time tried to do hagala, meaning he tried to dip plastic dishes into boiling hot water, and that would be a clear way of being allowed to kosher them, being able to kosher them. And what happened was he stuck them in, and the plates bent out of shape, and they became misshapen and malformed because of the heat of the plastic, because many plastic things are not able to take that level of heat. So then he had new worry. So even if I told you that the way to do it was hagala, and even if I committed to doing hagala, we have another concept in halacha. This comes from the Shulchan Aruch. It comes from earlier, but the Shulchan Aruch records it in Tav Nun Aleph in Orach Chaim in 451, paragraph 7, that there are those who hold that if you have spoons made of horn, so you can't kosher them by hagala, by dipping them in boiling water. And the reason is that since they might get ruined by it, hot water can ruin these kinds of delicately made, finely crafted spoons, we're worried that the owner will worry about it, and in his worry or her worry about it, the owner will not put them fully into the hot water and not leave them there. It's not that much time, but will not leave them there at all, and therefore it won't really get koshered. So those kinds of things, those kinds of items, we usually say don't have heter b'hagala. We say you can't be magil them. You can't kosher them by putting them into boiling water, not because boiling water doesn't work, but because we're afraid that you're not actually going to put them in because you're going to be so worried about ruining them. On the other hand, since the factory had said that plastic is generally impermeable, there is a class of items in halacha. Glass is one of them, which are what's called shi'ei velo balei, that they're so smooth that they don't absorb anything. And those kinds of items, you're allowed to just wash and then you don't have to worry about them. So you might have thought, and so the example is glass item, right? You might have thought that plastic should be like glass in that sense. It doesn't really absorb. Now, it's true that you can't kosher it because we're worried that you won't really put it in the hot water for as long as it needs to go in or at all because you'll be so worried about it. You won't heat the water to the right level because you're so worried about it. But on the other hand, maybe you don't need to put it in at all because it doesn't absorb at all. But the truth is that we don't allow ourselves to classify. We think that we follow the Rama, who seems to follow the more stringent opinion, along with the Magen Avraham, that we don't allow ourselves to classify things as shi'e, so smooth, that as long as you just wash them off, they're okay. Primogonim sort of agreed, but he did say if it's a hefsid meruba situation, that's always important for us to know, because it's an avenue of leniency as well, to think about if it's a great loss, so then he would allow just washing it and saying that because this is not an item that really absorbs things, it should be okay. So even though we don't do it in general, it's something that's out there to think about. There might be a classes of items, and plastic might be one of those, which we're in fact allowed to not kosher, even if they seem to get trafed up, pardon the English, even if something goes wrong where they seem to have absorbed items they shouldn't have, or even if you want to use them for Pesach and they have absorbed a lot of chametz during the year, there's some room to say, in the case of the Merubah, that we can think of them as items that don't absorb at all. So that's the question. It also comes up, another question, in terms of plastic tablecloths. And he says, Shulchanot shel nylon. He says, Mapot shulchan shel nylon, which I think means nylon, but I think he mostly means plastic or, you know, that those tablecloths that are, they feel like plastic, or they feel much smoother and a different texture than cloth. So there, you can't be magil those. If you put those in the boiling water, they'd be destroyed. You can't even put them in a washing machine, right? Because they'll get destroyed in a washing machine. But if we treat them like glass, then we could say that if you just wash them very carefully, especially with soap and water, and the soap is valuable because any taste that was on it, perhaps, and that you might have worried would get onto food that you're going to put onto it, the soap will ruin that taste because soap is an item that ruins taste. It's a po game. So maybe that should be good enough. That's the question of the Rabbi of Akko. So he asked the question on the sixth day of Adar Bet, and that's why we are studying it today. Truth is, the response is on the eighth day of Adar Bet. 2 days later, he comes to it quickly. We'll see why. He tells us why in a second. He answers so quickly. I would just point out that I usually use the date of the response, but as it happens to be that Adar Bet is a time of year, it only comes seven out of every 19 years. So if usually, just do a little math together, if usually I have about 40 choices among responsa, but there's only another bet 7 out of 19 years, so I have many fewer choices. If you did the math, theoretically I should have about 15 choices per day. I often don't even have that. And remember that when I say choices, I mean just what comes up in the search. But some of those are too short, some of those are too long. Anyway, turns out the sixth of Adar Bet was a day that I had a harder time finding responsive for, so I'm using this one for the sixth of Adar Bet, because I found another responsive for the eighth of Adar Bet that you'll hopefully listen to in 2 days from now. So in any case, that's why we're doing this. Even though the responsive was dated the eighth of Adar Bet, we're doing it for the sixth of Adar Bet. He's responding to the Rabbi of the year of Akko, and he says, you know, I was really very busy when you contacted me. I am in the middle of publishing the third volume of Tzitzit Eliezer. This response goes to the fourth volume, but I was in the third volume. So by the time Tzitzit Eliezer is 35, he's not yet 36 years old. He's born in 1950-1916. He's not 36 years old, I'm pretty sure. By the time he's 30, let's say, by the time he's 36 years old, he's already involved in publishing the third volume of his response, which is just part of seeing the productive life that the Tzitzit Eliezer lives. He had actually written a book of Chidushei Torah before he ever wrote a book of responsa, a different discussion. So he says, I really would have ignored your tshuva or delayed it. But then he says, and it's an insight into the man, biyot she'ela chadasha, it's a new question, right? Plastic is a new item, a new material, so the question of kashering it is nothing that has been dealt with a lot. And nogat lema'aseh, and it has practical ramifications, lehorot la'am haderach asher yelchuba, to teach the Jewish people the path they're supposed to take. So the Tzitzit Eliezer is already in his mid-30s. He's a man who feels that he has a responsibility, a job, and his job is that when Jews need to know how to live their Jewish lives, it's his job to help them figure out how to live their Jewish lives, and that's his self-image, and it's one that he lived out his whole life and did remarkably well at. But I think it's just interesting to watch a man to have that feeling. And then he says, "Minigash atuf biyirav anava," and I'm approaching this topic with great awe and reverence for the topic and with humility. Meaning, he it's not, oh, I'm so great, I know how to tell everybody to do things. This is my role in life, and I'm going to do the best that I can, and I approach it with the proper seriousness of purpose. Okay, now, So how do you kosher things? How do you kosher items? He says, but it's clear, Medina did that too. The Torah, the Gemara's assumption is that a klisheni doesn't need any greater hechsher than a klisheni. And that's important for our topic because let's remember what a klisheni is. In halacha, the idea of heat is not the only way that we think of as what transfers taste or kashrus or things like that. We also talk about a kli rishon, kli sheni, kli shlishi, and the way it works is like this. You cook an item, let's say I cook a soup or on a fire. While it's on the fire, it's called al ha'esh. It comes off the fire, it's called the kli rishon. I pour from that pot into another pot or a bowl. If you take it out with a ladle, there's a whole discussion about it. Some people think that the ladle is a separate kli, so it goes from the soup pot to the ladle to the plate. The plate would already be a kli, to the bowl. The bowl would already be a kli shlishi, because the ladle was a kli sheni. Some people are machmir or stringent. They don't treat it that way. But the idea is, every new item that it's transferred to is another removed kli. So I make roast chicken in the oven. I make a steak in the oven on a pan. That pan is a kli rishon. I take the steak off the pan and I put it on a plate. That plate is a kli sheni. So most plates that we, most eating plates that use, most spoons, most knives that we use are at worst a kli sheni. Some are different, right? The spoons that you use to actually stir things on the fire would sometimes be in a kli rishon because they'd be, you know, touching the stuff on the fire, and therefore that would make them a kli rishon. But most of them are a kli sheni. Now, the reason why that's important here is because when you cook something in a kli sheni, or the way that something has absorbed the taste or absorbed heat is only through a kli sheni, then the most you need to do a hechsher to make it kosher, if it's something, let's say, you know, I have a plate, and by accident one time, instead of putting a steak from the pan on it, I put pork that had been cooked on that on a pan. So the pan itself is going to be a kli rishon, that's going to have a harder time. But I put it on the plate's a kli sheni. So the level of absorption it got was kli sheni absorption. So whatever that level is, to get rid of it, to rid that plate of what it had absorbed from the non-kosher food, or to rid it of the chametz that we assume is absorbed so that we can use it for Pesach, the most you would need, says the as it would be a kli sheni. Because the important klal, the important principle that the Gemara in Pesachim teaches us is kivolo kach polto, that however it is that items absorb something, if we apply that same thing in a non-taste environment, they'll get it out there. So if it absorbed it in a kli sheni, then it will rid itself of it in a kli sheni as well. That's principle number one that's going to be helpful and important to us, because it'll mean that most plastic utensils that people use are going to only be a problem of, are all going to need a kli sheni level of heat to kosher them. More than that, he says, it's not only that it always uses a kli sheni, he says, it also sounds like the halach is from the Gemara, that even if occasionally you use an item with a kli rishon, when we're trying to figure out how to kosher something, how to rid it of its taste for the purpose of making it kosher, or for the purpose of making it available for Pesach use, even though it's been used with chametz all throughout the year, we follow Rov Teshmisho. What we do is, whatever the majority of its use has been, that's what we use. He gets that from a Gemara in Avodah Zarah, the Ayin Hey Amid Bet, page 75b. Gemara says that if you buy items from non-Jews, so all those things that are used in cold, glasses, you know, drinking cups, and container pitchers of water, and things like that, madichan umatpilan, you wash them, right, in cold water. You wash them, and then you put them in a mikvah. We have to know that's a different halakha. That's a halakha of tevilas kelim. It's not our halakha. That's not a kashrus issue. That's a tevila issue. If you use them ayidei chamin, if you use it with hot water, kigon hayomos, like big containers of hot water, that or heating things that you heat with hot water in them, then magilan umatpilan. You have to burn it, you have to boil things in them, you have to boil hot water in them to get rid of whatever non-kosher stuff is in there. So the as it says, you see that the kosot and the kitoniot, the cups and the pitchers, it didn't say that have never been used with hot. It said that since their general use is bitsonin, is with cold water, with cold items, so even though it's clearly possible that every so often you use it with hot, Or another halakhic principle is that we in halakha tend to treat something that's left overnight or left 24 hours in another item. We think that what's called kavush, sort of like it's pickled inside of it. So, and even in these cold items, you can easily imagine that somebody forgot the piece of chametz in it for more than 24 hours, and then that should be more like kavush is like mevushal. It should be more like it was cooked in hot. And yet, the Gemara of Odazar doesn't attain those possibilities, and therefore, there's a thing that the principle in the Gemara is that you follow the majority use of this item, and therefore, you should be okay with just washing it, because kivolo kach polto, because we say the way that he took it in is the way that he gets it out, and it's the general use of it. We're not done with that yet, but I would just point out that since there's this idea that we follow the general use of an item, it's something I used to always think about when I used to be part of. There was a time when I was working as a rabbi in a shul, and in that shul, they would do kashering in the shul's kitchen. They would have these big hot water pots, and people would come in, and they would kasher the items. And people would kasher kiddush cups, and they would kasher candlesticks. And I remember being struck by, I always thought it was a question as to whether one has to do that or not. I'm not saying the answer yes, I'm just pointing out that Eliezer's idea, if we applied it to that, would be that kiddush cups you don't need to kasher, in at least not in hot water, because they're generally used for cold. So you say, maybe one time you use it for hot. He's saying one time use doesn't matter to us in terms of making these decisions. Now, when it comes to kavolo kach polto, that's what he turns to now. The Rif in Pesachim cites the halacha, and the Rif makes it a general principle that those items that are generally used with a kli rishon, in the end, you need a kli rishon, which means you need to put it into boiling water, either it's on the fire or that's still just come off the fire. We now, for example, we want to kosher silverware, let's say, or flatware, we insist that the water be on the fire and a rolling boil. So the Rif doesn't seem to think that way, and the Rif says not only that, but things that you generally use with a klisheni, which would be much of silver, much of flatware, if you think about it, because generally with flatware, even soup spoons, you don't generally use your soup spoon to eat soup from the pot in which the soup was cooked. It's generally already been put into at least a klisheni, and then you put your spoon into it. That would be presumably the klisheni. The Rif says all you need is a klisheni to create the kashas. That would mean theoretically, and I don't know why we would do this, but theoretically you'd boil the water, put it into another item, and then put the spoon into that, and that would be good enough. And then he says, though, and that's I don't think we follow halakhically today, but I could be wrong. He says, umashi lehu ad paltan shapir. You leave them in there until you're pretty sure that they've gotten rid of whatever was absorbed into them. I think today we generally assume that as soon as you put them in the boiling water, it boils right off right away. But anyway, that's the way the Rif has it, that the Tzitz HaLiezer is quoting. And the Rambam and the Rush also seem to agree. Kevolo kach polto, that if we know the general use of an item is X way, that's the level of heat we need to bring to bear to produce kashrus. And the Ran on the Rif makes explicit the second idea that the Tzitz said you can find in the Gemara, that you follow the majority use, which does seem to contradict the Yerushalmi. There's a Yerushalmi which does seem to say that you require libun, which is where you heat it to a much higher point than just putting it into boiling water. You heat it either until a piece of straw will burn when it touches it or until it's red hot. And the Yerushalmi says, because sometimes you roast things on whatever pan it may be that you need to kasher. But the Ran says that our Gemara doesn't agree for the reason that we quoted before. He quotes our Gemara before about the cups that we allow kashering by just washing them off because they were only used in cold. So that seems to ratify that principle. They were generally used in cold. That seems to ratify the principle that it's about general use, not about any specific use that you might have. An exception to that, however, is the Ran on the Rif in Pesachim does say that when it comes to knives, there we would require a kli rishon, and the reason why we require a kli rishon, he says it, the zimnin de me'ayel beduda de bisra. Sometimes you use the knife to cut meat that's on the fire. So even though it's true that that's not a general use, that this would be making the point that the Gemara seems to imply general use, but since it's sometimes literally on the fire, it bothers us much more than other things. And that's where we're going to have an issue. And we're going to see Rabbi Yerucham in a second is also going to say it that way. If it's often or sometimes or reasonably sometimes on the actual fire, and then sometimes it's a kli rishon, and then mostly it's a kli sheni, so we'll say as a compromise, let's do it with a kli rishon. That would then be relevant to other things as well. Meaning, if I have forks, I might say to myself, you know what? It's true that I generally use a fork in a klisheni, but sometimes when I have something in the oven and I want to see if it's well done enough or not, I'll pick it up with a fork. And so if that's true, then you'd say to yourself, oh, so maybe I need a Klirishon. So that would lead us to start worrying about those kinds of things. And all that is because of Al Ha'esh, because you might use it sometimes when it's actually on the fire. Another possibility is that there's a principle in Halacha that knives are different. So then it wouldn't be a question that we sometimes use it on the fire. It's also a question that that knives are different because the Gemara assumes in other places that the pressure with which you use a knife, right? You use a knife by pressing down and slicing, but also pressing down into it. We think that is more likely to communicate taste from the food into the knife, and therefore whatever the worries are about the knife absorbing might be heightened in the case of knives by virtue of that pressure, and therefore even though other items which are generally used with a klisheni, you could be get away with koshering them by using a klisheni in the case of a knife, even though you generally use it with a klisheni, even if we're not saying no, but sometimes you use it al ha'esh on the fire, we might be saying that the knife, by virtue of the fact that you press with it, absorbs a greater percentage of taste, and therefore is a whole different thing. Unfortunately for us, there are Rishonim, though, who think that you have to be choshesh lemiyuta in general, that you have to generally worry about occasionally using the Tosfos Avodah Zarah, and other Rishonim that he quotes who think that, for example, ke'arot, that certain plates or bowls, you have to be magil with a kli rishon. And the reason they give is because sometimes, sometimes you put the plate itself directly into the kli rishon, meaning today it would be like a ladle. You sort of use your bowl itself as the ladle. So you might have said to me, well, soup bowls are always a klisheni because you take the soup, you put a ladle into the soup, you put it into the bowl. So Tosfos was saying, what was true in their time might not be true in our time, but that since you sometimes took the bowl itself into the soup pot, that is like a klirishon, therefore you need a klirishon. So they would explain that Gemara in Avodah Zarah as being about those kinds of items that are ruba deruba, that are the vast majority of cases, they only use them for a certain purpose. But if you have items that you use them occasionally for other purposes, or, you know, the numbers are something we could talk about, but you use them reasonably, a minority, but a reasonable minority for some other purpose, you'd have to kasher for that purpose as well, to that level, to that extent as well. That's what Tosfos is holding. When we look at the Shulchan Aruch itself in Or Chaim, Tufton Aleph of Vav, says that we follow Rov Tashmisho. The majority use of an item is the way that we kasher it. And the Ramah disagrees at different levels. The Ramah says, if you have ka'aros that you use with a kli rishon, then you have to kasher them in a kli rishon. Then he has another level, another phrase where he says, and anything you have to worry about that it was used with a kli rishon. And then he has a third one where he says, and there are those who are a machmir to be magil everything, to put everything into boiling water because it's possible. So that would take away many of our kulas, right? And that might be why Ashkenazim don't follow many of these kulas, because we think that we have to generally worry that maybe this item is used. But the Gra, the Vilna Gaon and Sivkat and Hay there, the Tzitzit points out, says that kalim that are used with a klisheni, shelo al yidei iri, that would be like a soup bowl, right? A soup bowl is a klisheni, shelo yidei iri would be, let's say I pour directly, if I had a coffee cup that I put directly under a hot water urn, and I push the urn so the water goes directly from the urn into the coffee cup, that would be al yidei iri. I'm pouring directly from the kli rishon, in that case, from the al ha'esh, into the next kli, which becomes a klisheni. So there's the water comes in as an iroi, as a pouring from, and there's a whole question about the status of iroi kli rishon and how that works, and therefore that can affect the status of klisheni. But if you have a klisheni, there is no iroi, such as if you take soup with a ladle, so the ladle interrupts, whether the ladle counts as the klisheni, such as the soup bowl is a klisheni or not, even if you say that's not true. But what is true is there was no iroi, and the Vilna Gaon says if there's no iroi, then he thinks you don't need any hechsher whatsoever, and he wonders at the Mechaber who says you need hechsher, because he thinks that a klisheni isn't mevashel at all, doesn't create any cooking halachically, and therefore doesn't create any absorption of taste, and therefore you shouldn't have to worry about it. And on that issue, the Ramah and the Torah Chatzot, another work of his, seems to agree that a klisheni is not mevashel. So if you don't have an iroi, you have no connection, therefore you have no connection to the kli rishon, and we hold the klisheni is not mevashel, then whatever comes into the klisheni shouldn't create any kinds of problems, and therefore you shouldn't have to kasher at all, is what the Vilna Gaon says. And that is letting me clear, even if it's food items that are so hot, that's yad soledet, that you put your hand in it unsuspectingly, your hand will feel burnt and you'll pull it back, which is generally the standard for what's considered hot enough to cook things. But when it comes to the principle of a klisheni is not mevashel, we have a general principle that a klisheni is not mevashel, even if the yad is soledet. And Yerodeh, the Vilna Gaon says, that really, even there too, where it says the shakash things that happen in a klisheni, he says, meikara dedina, that really the halacha is, you don't need to. And it's halacha chila, it's worth worrying that maybe it wasn't really cliche, maybe you didn't realize this or that, but really, and that's true, he says about Pesach as well. When we say people are machmir to kasher, cliche for Pesach, it's good to be machmir if things are burning hot, if things are yet, so let it go. But he thinks halachically you're not required to. And the Vilna Gaon also says that's only, by the way, when it says on Pesach you should, that's only on Pesach. But before Pesach, when we're koshering things, let's remember importantly that before Pesach, when we're koshering things, the item that we're koshering, like trying to get rid of, is not a prohibited item. Chametz throughout the year is perfectly permissible. So when I am trying to rid a pot or a pan or a flatware or a soup spoons or whatever, or bowls or plates, whatever they are, of their contained absorbed taste, the halachic principle is that if what I'm trying to get rid of is heter taste, that's very different halakhically than I'm trying to get rid of Isser taste. I'm coming to before Pesach is set there. So those rules would be different. So the Vilna Gaon is saying that when we say that on Pesach you should worry about a cliche, that's only on Pesach. But before Pesach, it should be like any other Isserim. So and the Vilna Gaon, and the Rav Tzitzis says you go on like this for a long time. Puts out that the first Lubavitcher Rebbe, the Rav Shneur Zalman, who wrote a Shulchan Aruch of his own, also notes that many people hold that a klisheni doesn't need any hagala whatsoever, which would change our whole experience of kashering things for Pesach, because, man, if you think about it, especially if you're going to follow majority use, many of the items that we use regularly are really just a klisheni at best, right? The things that are klirishon are things that are cooking items, right? But our eating items, by and large, are a klisheni, and the first Lubavitcher Rebbe, also known as the Balatanya, so he has said that many hold that klisheni doesn't have any power to be mavliya, to cause absorption of taste. And so there too, it sounds like before Pesach, there's no reason to separate or to distinguish between chametz and other isurim, and therefore you should theoretically allow yourself to either not kasher at all or kasher it in a very relatively easy way because it only absorbed as a klisheni. And the Torah Schatzis does quote a Rabbeinu Yerucham that I mentioned before. The Rabbeinu Yerucham has said that clay nechoshet, there are some metals. Nechoshet is, I think, copper. It might mean brass, but that doesn't absorb, he says, unless it's on a fire. Unless fire, meaning he thinks that in a clay region, that metal is so resistant to absorption, it doesn't absorb. Now, the Rashba disagrees, and the Shach goes on at length in Samachet to prove that we think the clay nechoshet, that kind of metal, is prohibited if it absorbs, if it has prohibited items in it, but even the Eroi. Even if they're not a Klirishon, they're just coming in through Eroi, that would be good enough to heat it up enough that we will think that it'll absorb it. But you have this seat of the Raven Yerucham out there. So in a place of Hefsi Meruba, where there's a problem, where it's going to cause a lot of financial problems, there are those who allow relying on the Rabbeinu Yerucham to say that if something was cooked before it had Hagala, that if it's at least in a koshet, in a copper item, then maybe you can say that it's allowed and you don't have to worry that it was us or prohibited and you can use it. So that's all a pretty good introduction to some of the issues of koshering items. So now he's going to come back to the plastic utensils. So if these are plastic utensils and they don't have any clay in them, now clay is a big issue because in halacha, the Gemara thinks that clay is a kind of material that it absorbs and it never gets rid of it fully. So if you have a clay item, it's very, very difficult and probably impossible to kosher it the way you have to kosher it. You have to remake it. You have to completely destroy it and remake it. So if this plastic doesn't have any clay item to it, that's not such an easy question. And because you have to contact the factory, you have to look into the manufacturing process, and if you do, please let me know. But if it doesn't have in it, then you're going to be able to kosher it in some way, because everything that doesn't have clay in it can be koshered in some way. So he says, well, since you're telling me that you put them in a boiling hot water, that they get ruined, so then he says, I think it seems clear then that you don't have to do a hechsher in boiling hot water. If you want to kosher them for Pesach, you don't need hot boiling hot water, because first of all, I held already that you follow the majority of their use, but more than that, that you're telling me that they get ruined, then it's true, as the Mashgiach had said, you have to worry, a person won't put it in the hot water for long enough, but it's also true that you never would have put it in the hot water before, because you would have worried they would have been boiled, that they would have been ruined. So therefore, there's no reason to suspect that they've ever absorbed taste. based on contact with boiling hot items. It's all the more so because our general custom, the first step of our kashering anything, is not to use it for 24 hours. And that means that anything, we clean it, so there's nothing be'ain, no actual item on it, and then we don't use it for 24 hours, which means that any taste that absorbs into it is now considered tam lifgam halakhically, and therefore you don't have a problem. So that will, either you have less of a problem, and therefore that's okay. And since this is a hospital that has a lot of these items, it's a hefsim ruma situation, and therefore he thinks it's okay. It should be okay to kasher it in a non-completely boiling way, in a cliche anyway. I mean, you can kasher it in whatever kind of heat is the kind of heat it generally encounters, which in this case would be at best a cliche and quite possibly not a boiling or a yatzolepo situation, because these are things that will be damaged by that. And you do have some things where it will be a problem, not because of heat, but because you'll store chametz in them. You'll store leavened items in them for more than 24 hours. And as I said before, if you keep something in something for more than 24 hours, so that's considered kavush, like it's been pickled in there. It doesn't matter how tightly packed it is. It's just the presence for 24 hours. And that's considered like mevushal. So the Titulizer says, yeah, for that what you need to do is what's called milui v'irui gimel yami, which means you fill it up with just plain water for 24 hours. You change the water for 24 hours. You do that for 3 days. And then that's allowed. And that's considered a way to, through cold, pull out whatever taste has been absorbed in cold kinds of ways, such as it being storing items in there for more than 24 hours. And that happens to be the Shulchan Aruch Paskins and our Chaim Tov Nanal of Kof Aleph, that's even permissible with clay barrels. Even though we say that clay never really fully gets rid of its taste, but if it's the only taste that is absorbed. So the example is you put in beer, barley beer, but you put in beer and you store them in there. So the halacha of the Shulchan Aruch is that you can do hagala. If you can't do hagala, if you don't want to burn them out with hot water, with boiling hot water, you can do it with iri gimel yami. That's what we tend to do today, for example, with glasses, with drinking glasses. We'll do the same thing. We'll fill them with water and leave them, or we'll put them in, you know, in soaking in water for 3 days, changing the water every day. So that's seen as a parallel form of kashering that should work for these plastic utensils as well. When it came to the tablecloths, he says, since we don't usually use them with hot, right? You just put, if anything happens, spill on them, but that's all you do. So this, and we don't put them in dishwashers because they'll get ruined. So he thinks that if you wash them down very carefully and very well, it should be fine. He points out that Zomag and Aramintof from Zion explicitly says that if you have a klisheni or something like that, which you generally use with cold, and something hot spills on it one time, you don't have to be makami for that. You don't have to worry about that, and you can ignore that. The Ramah thinks that even if it's a klisheni, if it's not yatzolet, meaning let's suppose the soup on the pot has been there for a while, the fire's been off for a while, so the soup's already cooling down, it's not as hot as it once was. I take it out with a ladle and I put it in the soup bowl. Now, we would ordinarily call that a kli sheni because the soup on the pot is a kli rishon. Okay, let's say we're now counting the ladle as a separate kli, as a separate item. But when it goes into the second bowl, into the soup bowl, let's say it's not yad solet. And this happens very often. Very often, soup comes to the table. It's not so hot that I stick my finger in, and let's say for the moment that it went in. It could be that by the time it got to me, but I put my finger in, or somebody just randomly put it, but they wouldn't be yet to let it, wouldn't burn their hand. So the Magen Avraham held that doesn't qualify as a cliche at all. And therefore, you wouldn't need the heksher. You wouldn't need to do kashering with a cliche at all because it's not a cliche because that doesn't have the heat for it. Meaning the cliche has to have a certain level of heat, even though it's only a cliche. So the only item that's left to talk about are those plastic things that you generally do used to use with a klibisha. There are plastic items that you can use on the fire or stuff that's just, or you'll that was on the fire and you'll get it out directly, and it's clearly shown items, and what are you going to do about that? Because after all, you can't kasher them in boiling water. So this is, I don't know what people are talking about. He says it very respectfully. So I'm not complaining. I'm not saying that they're wrong. It's just as a student who's thinking about these things, I don't understand, because if it's really a clearly shown that they're using it with, then they would be able to boil it for the other purpose, but since they're so careful not to boil it, then it seems very clear that they're never using it with items that are a full kli rishon, because those things would cause it to bend and break and whatever it is. He says, I would think that you can kosher it in whatever way the ordinary use of that item would be. And if you want to worry that after that's still not good enough, I think you do the 3 days thing with that as well, and therefore you can treat them in that way, and therefore you can be okay. And he says, I feel particularly comfortable with that because the rabbi who's writing to him had thought maybe you could treat it like glass because we think that it's not permeable since it absorbs it all, although he doesn't think that you can really rely on that on its own. And part of the reason why he says you can't rely on it on its own, he says, because, you know, there's times when there are these items and they've been used a lot with like lemon smelling kinds of things, or they store lemons in them, and they're the kinds of items you totally would never absorb. But the Tzitzit says, but You know what? When you take the lemons out and then you wash them down carefully, they still smell of lemons. They smell of lemons. They're apparently absorbing something. So, and even if you wash them, so he thinks that that's more of a challenge, more of a problem. Therefore, what he thinks is, though, with all of the elements here, maybe it's not permeable, it breaks in really, really hot water, so maybe it never absorbs, it's not generally used in this way. So because of all these reasons, he suggests that you can do a Hagala at the level at which it's usually used, even if that's not a full Kli Rishon, and then do Milui V'Iri 3 days. You can fill it up and with water for 3 days and changing the water every day. He thinks that together should certainly, after you've waited 24 hours to begin with, that should certainly be enough to allow for it to be kosher. So those are some of the answers on how to kosher plastic utensils, either those, especially those that are used not on the fire, or they're used not as a Kli Rishon, and also plastic tablecloths, and the way you can do it, giving us a reminder of some of the central principles of how we kosher things when things have gone wrong, and how we kosher things in preparation for Pesach. Have a great day.